The enormous amount of debris left in New York and New Jersey from the destruction of Sandy is expected to reach more than 12 million cubic yards. That's enough to fill more than 3,800 Olympic-sized swimming pools. WNYC's Alec Hamilton went to find out where it's all going.
A tattered couch, a bicycle wheel, a photo of a smiling little girl, a mattress. At the Jacob Riis Park parking lot in Rockaway, Queens, a giant crane and a scattering of seagulls pick over a mountain of muddy debris.
I think here we're looking at about 10,000 cubic yards of material just here on this one pile.
That's Brandon Beach, a spokesman for the Army Corps of Engineers.
A lot of personal items. It's like that picture, picking up that picture. You realize then that, you know, this is all things from people.
This lot is huge, enough parking for 5,000 cars. Beach says immediately after the storm, it was completely covered with a 30-foot-high mound of debris. Imagine a three-story warehouse, as wide around as a city block, full of ruined belongings.
There was a row of debris that stretched all the way down this lane.
The Army Corps is in charge of debris removal. It has a contract with a company, which in turn employs subcontractors to pick up items piled on curbs and streets. The trucks roll in and unload, 24 hours a day. Jacob Riis is one of two staging grounds in New York City. There's another on Staten Island. For a few weeks right after the storm, the debris would be collected here, then picked up and taken to Fresh Kills. From there, it was loaded onto barges and taken to landfills near Albany and elsewhere upstate. Now it's trucked directly from here to the landfills. Efforts are being made at recycling.
So this is where we're separating the white goods out from the pile. Now, a lot of the debris from the curbs wasn't segregated out at the curb, so a lot of that segregation happens here at the pile.
A crane picks out refrigerators and air conditioning units to remove any chemicals. Household hazardous wastes are gathered in one corner, and big pieces of metal are removed for recycling. In another part of the lot, a tumbler sifts its way through giant piles of nearly 100,000 cubic yards of sand scooped off of city streets. Trees are sent elsewhere to be turned into mulch. But very little will actually get recycled. Of the 4.3 million cubic yards picked up in New York State so far, less than 3% has been diverted. The rest is considered construction and demolition, or C&D materials. Rick Tillman is a subject matter expert on debris for the Corps.
The majority of it's all being hauled away as C&D material. And that's good. It gets rid of the debris sooner, but it's bad in the respect that it also tends to fill up landfills quicker that way also, and a lot of landfills don't like to have their landfill space used up unnecessarily.
In the coming weeks, the amount of C&D here will increase again as the city begins demolition on some 200 damaged buildings. Environmentalists say much of the material could be salvaged, and there is some precedent for that. After Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, several organizations stepped in to reduce C&D waste through a practice called deconstruction,
which is sort of demolishing a building by hand and saving the material.
That's Angie Green. She's the former executive director at the Green Project, an environmental nonprofit in New Orleans.
The selective deconstruction we did was, for the most part, just the easily accessible materials, like cabinets, windows, doors, lighting fixtures, trim, and sometimes flooring.
A few organizations in New York are doing this kind of work, though so far it hasn't really caught on. Justin Green is the executive director of Build It Green.
It's a perfect moment for deconstruction to be used, since there's so many buildings that need to be demolished.
Green is hopeful that salvage will play a larger role in the recovery, especially since transporting and storing materials in landfills can generate more of the greenhouse gases thought to be accelerating this sort of extreme weather.
If we keep doing things in an environmentally, you know, unsustainable manner, we're going to keep making the problems worse.
He says a crew can usually salvage around 3/4 of the materials in a building. But both environmentalists and the Army Corps agree that deconstruction has limits. Structurally unsound buildings can be unsafe to take apart. And because you're not just mashing everything together and throwing it into a truck, it can take longer and cost more. Tillman says that the Army Corps encourages reuse and recycling, but does not write it into the contracts.
We don't dictate how contractors accomplish their work. that would be getting into their business too much, and it could result in claims if they think that they're not realizing the profit levels that they normally get.
He says it's unlikely that the Corps will change future demolition contracts to require that contractors sort and recycle materials.
It's just what it is. I mean, if they want to do that, that's fine. But it's not an efficient way of doing it when you have a lot of C&D-type material.
For now, in order for them to do deconstruction, individual homeowners must seek it out and opt to spend their insurance money on it. Justin Green, the head of the New York-based nonprofit Build It Green, says so far only a few people have contacted his organization about deconstruction post-Sandy. But Green is still talking with the city about finding a larger role in the recovery. For WNYC, I'm Alec Hamilton.